Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime
Cheesehead
Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
Look at you, what's that ass?
Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers goes deep on second and two. He's got a leap in Devontae Adams.
He's a man.
Go, Rodgers hangs in the pocket, throwing a lot of traffic in his heart for the touchdown.
Well, that defense is going to give a lot of team struggles. We got a defense.
Aaron Rodgers.
Once again, we got a defense.
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation, as we continue with this, our 10th season of Cheesehead Radio. Your hosts tonight are the blithe C.D. Angeli, TundraVision on Twitter, along with the florid Kelly Hudson, That Packer Girl on Twitter. And finally, little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV, also known as Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. Sponsoring the Packers Talk Network, as always, is our good friends at Ticket King. They've been in business in Wisconsin for over 25 years, selling tickets for Packers, Badgers, and concerts, and just about anything else. They've got a tremendous reputation for excellent customer service and good prices. Be sure to check out their website, theticketking.com. That takes care of the formalities. Let's get this show on the road.
Who moved my team?
The Green Bay Packers win the season opener against the Chicago Bears. 100th season kickoff was a fantastic experience, a defensive struggle. Let's hit the ground running and talk about our big cheese winners from last week's 10-3 victory over the Chicago Bears. First of all, our sharp cheddar. Who was your superstar in this game? I know my co-host would love to take him, but I'm first, and I've been driving the J.K. Scott bandwagon since he got drafted. You want to talk about a guy who's matured into his position, justified his draft position. How many punters have their jerseys in demand?
Well, since C.D. nabbed J.K. Scott, I'm going to give it to Za'Darius Smith. He was in Mitch Trubisky's face more than that ugly porn mustache Trubisky sports.
I'm going to go with Adrian Amos. I love the taste of schadenfreude in the evening, and nothing pairs better with a fine cheese curd and a vintage spotted cow than watching the Bears get their own on national television. And there was something just very sweet about Amos stealing victory from the and giving them a big fat goose egg on that throw to the end zone. So mine's Adrian Amos.
All right. Now it's time for our Swiss cheese. Who was your surprise player that was give us a little pleasant surprise during the game? I'm going to say I'm the same guy that I predicted was going to do it last week. Jimmy Graham not only scored the only touchdown in the game, but showed off his athleticism with a nice hurdle of a defender. Yeah, he only had a few catches, but he definitely made the most of them.
I'm going to go with MVS, Valdez-Scantling. While he didn't get anything in the end zone, nobody but Graham did, that giant bomb reminded everybody that he's a deep threat. And if Adams isn't going to quite rise to the occasion, I think we're going to be looking at MVS to be that go-to receiver.
Okay, and I'm going to go with one Mercedes Lewis. After being less than an afterthought in Mike McCarthy's offense, Lewis played 34 snaps and looks like he'll be a solid contributor for Matt LaFleur.
Isn't it funny that the Packers had, like, one of their most lackluster passing performances in that game, and we all chose receivers?
Well, this was surprise, right? Surprise player.
True.
So
there we go.
Fits.
I think we're just so used to it's going to be the offense winning games, not the defense, after several years of an anemic defense, that I think we were all surprised by how shockingly good the defense was last week.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Finally, our Limburger cheese. Who let you down against the Bears? Well, I'm going to cheat a little bit. My Limburger cheese were the critics of Aaron Rodgers, who tried using his lackluster performance to declare him the same guy as he was last year. Guess what? He played against the best defense in the league. He had no turnovers, had a 92 quarterback rating, a touchdown, and over 200 yards in a hostile environment with no reps in the preseason and a new offensive scheme. Sit down, Florio.
All right, I'm going to go with the entire running back depth chart. The running game is non-existent. If you want Rodgers to shine, you really have to have a concurrent run scheme that's successful. Otherwise, everyone's going to be bearing down on 12 early and often. And I don't want him to become a grease spot yet again this season.
Boy, you guys have trouble following directions, huh? The guy, bunch of cheaters. All right, I'm going to go with Lane Taylor. He didn't have a bad game. He had a god-awful game. He was completely manhandled on several plays. Lane, you better bounce back quick. Those are Elgton Jenkins footsteps you hear behind you.
Al is still surprised we break the rules. Silly Al. But hey,
I know.
We have a lot more great Packers talk coming up for you here on Cheesehead Radio. But first, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
The Playbook.
All right. Well, the Green Bay Packers are 1-0. They're also 1-0 in the division, going against the Minnesota Vikings next week. But, you know, the jury was really out on the Packers with Matt LaFleur and some of the drama with Aaron Rodgers. Talk a little bit about this, what ended up becoming a defensive battle in Chicago. Were you surprised, or maybe what enlightenments did you get from this game that I think came out in a way that none of us expected? Jersey Al, let's start with you.
I don't know that I would call it surprise. I wasn't exactly expecting the Packers offense to light things up in their first game under a new regime against what's probably, admittedly, the best defense in the NFC, the Bears. So surprise would not be the right word. Maybe slightly meeting expectations, if I can pick more than one word. Hell, you guys cheat, so I'll cheat too. I expected it to be a close, tight game, you know, decided by a field goal. It wasn't quite that, but certainly the close and tight part was accurate.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting kind of a baseball score of a game. Surprise, yeah, it's kind of a strong word. I guess it reminded me that the Packers' offense was as rusty as I thought they would be, just because the last time they came together as a cohesive unit was game 16 of last season. As far as it being a defensive game, I knew it was going to be a tough defense from the standpoint of Chicago's really stout defense. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by how aggressive our defense was. So yeah, I guess I was surprised. I didn't think we were going to come out punching as strongly as we did. And if that's game one of the season, I would love, if we stay healthy, this could be just one terrifying defense come December.
Well, I think what Jersey Allen said in the past couple of weeks, you know, that secondary is swarming. It's exciting to watch.
They're everywhere.
Exactly. You know, they're making their way to the ball, and what you're not seeing are those silly, stupid mental mistakes. You know, a physical mistake, you know, maybe a mistake in coverage or missing a tackle, that's part of the game, especially in week one. But just these dumb mistakes we've seen over the past couple of years where guys are just completely taking wrong angles or completely out of the play or olaying the tackles. You saw a solid defense, and I think, to me, that was exciting. I don't know if I expected that in game one.
But you know, the Olay problem is now Chicago's problem, not ours. And it showed. It totally showed.
Now, I just wanted to throw in one thing about the defense that came to mind as I'm watching. You know, the last couple of years, I would watch other games. You know, Packer games, well, not so much Packer games, because I'm usually focusing on the Packers offense, but watching other teams play, and I'm watching other teams' defenses and their secondary. And so many times I would say, why the hell don't our defensive backs play like this? Why are they running back and playing soft and not hitting and not coming up and meeting balls? Why? Why can't we have a defense like that? Well, I think we have a defense like that.
Now, I have a lot of it is for you, Al. It's culture. And Al, I'm going to ask you a question along those lines.
Yeah.
Somewhat, yeah, there's some personnel changes this year. But we still have Tremont Williams, who is not exactly a spring chicken, but he's playing up. Do you think it's the new blood that's been infused into the defense, or do you think it's the new schemes now that we don't have Dom Capers?
No, I mean, well, I shouldn't just say no, but I definitely think it's more the new players on the team and the attitude they've come with. You know, Amos, it started with Jair Alexander last year, right? I mean, he came in and he played with attitude like we hadn't seen in a Packers defensive back in a long time. Then along this year, you come in with Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage, who, I mean, I wrote the other day, I think this kid's going to be a pro bowler and maybe an all pro. I think he's going to be that good. And the thing you read about these guys in the offseason was that they came in and they understood the defense within days. They weren't somebody that was confused, and you could see when they were playing, they knew exactly where to be. Savage, a rookie, knew where to be. Amos obviously knew where to be for that interception. He knew what play was coming. Tremont Williams said that he called it. So you know, I think a lot of it is the personnel that they brought in this year. And the other thing I wrote about, you mentioned Tremont Williams, he's re-energized. When was the last time we saw him play this well? And that's what happens when you bring in young guys with energy. It kind of revitalizes some of the old guys into maybe forgetting about how old they are and playing like they used to play. So I think that's what we're seeing. And, you know, not to discount the Smith brothers, but we are, you know, and the attitude that they brought, but we are talking about the secondary at this moment. So I think that's a big part of it.
That was definitely exciting to watch because we've been so flat-footed the past couple of years. And it was just really exciting, use the same adjective over again, because they were so aggressive. They weren't complacent anymore. They weren't playing a couple steps back, kind of the bend, don't break. And they were going to punch you in the face.
Oh, absolutely. Darnell Savage in particular, I think the speed that he has, you know, it just looks like everyone else is running in mud. And to have that type of speed with the awareness, I agree with Al completely. This guy is going to be a Pro Bowler. Rashawn Gary, though, our first round pick, came in with an awful lot of criticism. People were wondering why he was being drafted so high. He was being marked as an underachiever when he was playing at Michigan. Really had a lot of accolades in much of the preseason in training camp. How are you guys feeling? It didn't seem like, I think he only got a couple snaps last week. Is he going to show up for Minnesota, or is this going to be something we're going to be working him in over the course of the season?
I think he only had 2 or 3 snaps is what I read. And honestly, I never saw him once on the field at all. Six. Okay. It was
yeah,
more than
they were all in the fourth quarter. You know, they were trying to get some fresh legs in there. And actually he was pretty active. He didn't have anything. I think he ended up with 2 pressures actually, according to Pro Football Focus. So he was active, you know, they were getting fresh legs in there. They actually went with 3 with the Smith brothers and Gary, all 3 of them at the same time, a couple of times I noticed. So, I think they are going to be working them in slowly and in situations where they think, you know, they need a little extra juice going after the quarterback. And I think that's perfectly fine because we're paying those Smith brothers a lot of money and they're earning their money. So let them go ahead and keep doing that.
So I think the big concern we probably have from last week, if there's any concerns, is going to be the passing game. Obviously, I mocked it a little bit in our Limburger cheese, but you know, Aaron Rodgers admittedly looked a little off on some of his throws, especially early on, you know, first quarter, really came alive in the second. But Devontae Adams actually came out and just said it. Our passing game has nowhere to go but up. So pretty damning statement from him. Are you guys worried about this against the front four of the Vikings? How are we going to get this passing game going? What's missing? What needs to happen to get Matt LaFleur's scheme really in motion? Let's start with Kelly.
I think the biggest problem is they only practice together. They haven't seen any action in a game together. And that was with the McCarthy era and then Joe Philbin at the end. Last time they played together was in 2018. So I think they need a really steep learning curve to find that sweet spot on how to connect with each other and to communicate with each other. It could be ugly this week, but I would think by game 3, if not game 4, they should have it together. You know, people are bagging on Aaron Rodgers. He will get it. And if it's not Devontae Adams, it's going to be MBS. And if it's not MBS, hopefully the other lesser-known receivers will step up. And I think we have to remember there's also Jimmy Graham. Rodgers obviously trusts him. So, yeah, we didn't look good. We may not look good. We may get our teeth kicked in on Sunday. But I think it's going to turn around pretty quickly. So, Al, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with some of that. More than that, though, I think it's about establishing something that they talked about that all off season, and that's like a rhythm and a tempo to the offense. We didn't have any rhythm or tempo. We're holding the ball till 0.009 seconds again, and you know, that is something that has got to go. Rodgers addressed it after the game. And I think part of that, and part of establishing a tempo, is scheming some quick passes, scheming some slants, you know, some quick... we used to call them, what do they call them now, square ins. They call them drag routes or other things. But just move down the field, boom, 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 real quick. Do that for a series or two. And now you've got that rhythm going, and now you got the Vikings defense on their heels a bit. So I think that's a big part of it, too. And then that way, that's how you'll get other people involved, right? I mean, you saw at one point last week where the Bears had three people on Davante Adams because he stopped and counted them, right? I'm sure you all saw that video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you know, we've got to get other people involved, and the best way is to do it quickly. Don't wait for them to run around and get open, but scheme players open. CD, how about you?
Well, I thought one thing that was interesting is actually if you go back a year when Rodgers was hurt and when he against the Bears and he came back in and he actually ran the ball. He couldn't hang on to the ball that long. He was doing those quick passes,
right.
And he led one of the greatest comebacks in Packers history. You think
Absolutely.
He'd learn a lesson from that, but you know, LaFleur's no.
but no.
You know, LaFleur's philosophy is the illusion of complexity. And that was one thing that really fascinated me when he talked about that. And it's hard to have any complexity when you know what Rodgers is going to do. He's going to drop back and wait for you to get open. The idea of that illusion of complexity is really kind of going back to a modified West Coast offense with misdirection and doing what they're not expecting. So I'm hoping to see that grow. Like you said, he addressed it after the game. So you're hoping to see that next week against the Vikings.
We are hoping.
I still want to know why Aaron Rodgers' kryptonite is the screen pass.
I've written about this going back like 6 years ago. I wrote a big article about this when it was him and Ryan Grant, and you know, he could not complete a 5-yard pass to Ryan Grant between the two of them.
No.
He couldn't throw it, Grant couldn't catch it, and things haven't gotten much better since.
Well, I wrote about it years ago too, and I likened it to this psychology experiment where you have three people passing a ball back and forth on a screen, and your task is count the ball, you know, how many times it gets passed, and nobody sees the gorilla walk across the screen in the background. He kind of has that same selective blindness.
Yeah,
he doesn't see the thing right in front of him.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's
let's take a break. Yeah. Let's take a break, and let's go to our
Packer tweets from Packer.
Welcome to the part of the show where we go through our Packers Twitter and we find what we think are our best tweet of the week. We'll take a little vote at the end and see who gets to walk away with the honors. I think I'm on about a 6-week winning streak right now, dating back to last season. But Kelly, we'll start with you.
Okay, we're going to go a little 80s, and I want you to put the men without hats in your head. And I'm going to go with Twick Ball, one of my favorite funny people on the internet. And this is sing along to the safety dance. Amos can dance if he wants to. He can leave his Bears behind because his Bears can't throw. And if they can't throw, then they're no division champs of mine.
That was good.
It was.
That was good.
And the thing is, Twick Ball, I don't even think he was alive when that song came out.
Like the rest of us.
He's just a baby. Yeah, we all remember the song.
Mine's going to go out to a tweeter known as Chevy Elliott. His tweet was, the world's most beautiful things. 1, watching the sunset with the person you love. 2, watching a baby take its first steps. 3, the northern lights. 4, my Twitter feed after a Packers win.
By the way,
true.
do we know who did the safety dance?
I said men without hats earlier.
Oh, you did? Okay, I didn't know. Any
cast of Glee.
Sorry, never mind. Okay, I've got like a trio here, and I'm still tossing them up, so I'm going to flip a coin here mentally. I'm going to go...
A three-sided coin at that.
Absolutely. You can do that when it's in your head, right? I'm going to go with a tweet from Matt Ramage. He kind of addressed the constant thing you hear from Vikings and Bear fans where they say, you had 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks and only 2 Super Bowl rings. Well, as Matt points out, that's still better than the whole division combined. Have a seat.
Sit down.
I love Vikings week because you suddenly get some jackwagon from Vikings Twitterverse talking about how they're so tough. And then I always use it as an opportunity to post some GIF of some tumbleweeds and now a view of the Vikings trophy case.
Yep.
All right. So let's go through and vote.
Okay.
You can vote for, cannot vote for yourself. Whoever gets the most votes at the end wins. Kelly, you get first vote.
Jersey Allen, Matty Ramage.
Okay.
So one vote for Al. I'm going to cast
I'm
my
CD,
vote.
And I'm going to vote for Al and Matt Ramage.
No, actually, and without hats, sorry, it's one of my favorite songs. Got to go with Twickball and Kelly. So one vote Kelly, one vote Al. Al, you get to cast the deciding vote.
I got the decision. There's no doubt here. It's a no-doubter. Kelly, you are this week's champ. Men without hats.
I win.
You are winning. You can dance
you
if
win.
You want to.
And you can leave us both behind.
Because if your friends don't dance.
Tweet of the week.
All right.
By the way, quiz question for you. Pro
Which
Football Focus's top rated defender in last week's game.
Top rated overall or?
In Chicago and Green Bay, top rated defensive back.
I'm going to go with a surprise choice and say Preston Smith.
Nope.
Because CD's answering this question, somehow the answer's got to be J.K. Scott.
It is?
I didn't think of that, but good guess, Kelly.
Probably the
Ha-ha Clinton Dix. Ha-ha Clinton
Dix
was the highest rated defender.
Really?
I'm absolutely serious. Yes.
That 1 year or whatever, right before the Packers shipped him off to Washington and they benched him.
This is why I can't trust PFF anymore. It's like, come on.
Exactly. They lose all credibility with BS. I mean, come on.
What did he do that was stat worthy last week?
You don't make any mistakes, you can't get graded down, right?
But I'm actually going to defend him a little bit, okay? I know. Because he actually played well. He didn't make mistakes. He wasn't running away from tackles. He actually was being aggressive. He caused that fumble on Rodgers. So he actually played well. Now, do I believe that he will continue to play well when he's not playing against the Packers? Not for a second. Go ahead.
It was a total revenge tour. That was all it was. It's going to be one, and he might be okay in December.
Yeah, no, he didn't suck that game. He really did not. He was actually serviceable. He was good. But it will not last. The Bears will find out.
Well, coming up on Sunday, we have quite a game.
Oh, there's a game?
There is a game. It's a big game. And maybe, I think we're all a little nervous with Chicago just simply because, you know, you can throw out the records, especially in opening night. You know, hopefully you hope Chicago is going to find a way to lose, which they generally do and did. But the Vikings are coming to town on Sunday, and the Vikings had a heck of a game against the Falcons. I remember watching Packers Twitter, and I was like, oh, guess we can't sleep on the Vikings. Great, solid pass rush. Unfortunately, they have the most ridiculous Twitter video in which they've placed the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on, I believe, their front four. And somehow they're calling themselves the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Vikings, or whatever they are. Can't sleep on.
Oh, that's intimidating. That's intimidating.
Let's see.
I know.
How do we make the connection between turtles and Vikings?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I think turtles have a hard shell. Viking horns have a hard shell. I don't know.
Is there a stupid horn with a Ninja Turtle?
Are the turtles wearing horns?
I think the best question was Corey Banky. He's like, are the Vikings that good or are the Falcons that bad? And the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. So it makes you a little nervous going in. A great pass rush. And let's be honest, our pass protection with Aaron Rodgers definitely had some holes, as Jersey Al noted for us when he did not cheat in the cheese section. Nervousness. What are we going to do against this Viking front four to give Aaron Rodgers a little bit of time. Jersey Al, we'll start with you.
What are we going to do in the Vikings front four to give Rodgers some time? We're going to get an offensive line that can block, basically. We're going to get Lane Taylor and Corey Lindsey and Billy Turner, the three interior linemen, and we're going to kick their asses in practice all week so they understand that they did a lousy job, and I'm channeling my inner Lombardi here, and that they better do better or else there's going to be hell to pay. That's what we're going to do.
But did you see today that Bakhtiari didn't practice?
I did see that. Precautionary in my hopeful estimation. In my super optimistic estimation. Just precautionary. Be sure he'll be fine for the game.
Mm. Well, part of it, I think, and you know, obviously we talked about the passing game, but Aaron Jones really was ineffective. And gosh, who's the other running back?
Jamal Williams.
Averaged
zero yards
per carry. Aaron Jones averaged about three. How much do we need to get this running game going to, I guess, keep some of these pass rushers off Aaron Rodgers' back? And how do you do it?
Well, part of it is I think we need to have our offensive line be better with a run block. I think it wasn't all just on Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. I think the line didn't look good, and I think it has to be a combination of both.
Yeah, I don't think it was actually the running backs at all. I mean, you know, go back and watch the game and play it back, and there really weren't too many holes for them to run through. And, you know, I mean, give credit to the Chicago Bears. They've got a super aggressive front four, probably the best in all in the NFL. So, you know, give them credit for sure. The Packers' interior offensive line had trouble handling them, and, you know, no holes there. Now, and in addition to the front four, let's also add the two linebackers that the Bears have who are all over the field making tackles. That's not an easy team to run against, you know. You've got to really compass against the Bears. You have to complete passes. And, you know, the catch-22 is that you need time to be able to do that. So I think they'll have better success against the Vikings. The Vikings have a good defense, but I don't fear their front four as much as I would the Bears. So I think they'll have some better success and hopefully with some of the secondary receivers as well. You know, I mean, they'll probably have Davante Adams smothered again like the Bears did. So the other guys have to step up. I'd like to see Touchdown Jesus get some chances. You know, he's a guy that in preseason, when the Packers needed a third down or when they were in the red zone, he was always there to make a catch and get the play done. So I'd love to see him get some chances in those situations.
You know, one thing to also consider, if you want the running game to come alive, because right now if I was a defense, knowing Aaron Rodgers is going to go to Devontae or MBS, or he's going to try to run it. This is a great place where I think you could really infuse Jimmy Graham into the mix, where it's really going to make the defenses think. Because right now, last year, he was a non-entity. Then he got hurt and he was an even more non-entity. So he wasn't drawing coverage. If you get a couple really tight passes to Graham, now they have to cover Graham, which could possibly free up that running game.
Mm-hmm. So Packers Twitter is all a Twitter today because you talked about the smothering of Davante Adams. Apparently, Dez Bryant is available.
No.
And
no, he dropped it.
Packers.
No.
Packers
no.
As one of
Do
his
not
watch.
Digging hairballs.
Maybe a veteran's minimum salary signing.
You keep talking. Why do you keep talking?
I would rather dive naked into a bed of razor blades and bleach. No.
No. No, he's done. Yeah, he's done.
And do you want that much drama in our locker room?
Not Andre Rice.
He accomplished nothing for the Cowboys. He accomplished nothing for them that last season. That's why he's gone. We do not want him back.
We do not want to act like the Vikings and go for everyone else's sloppy seconds. No, it's like being a groupie following a band from the 70s that hasn't had a hit song. It's like following Chicago. I'm just going to make fun of them because I just saw a documentary. It's like, they were great in the 70s. They're still making albums. Does anybody listen to them? No.
So if we're all taking a vote, probably not signing this right now. If Davante Adams had a season-ending injury next week.
Still no.
Perfect.
Somebody take the microphone away from me.
Yes, please.
I'm just
cut
asking
him
you if you've expressed it.
Okay, you are as bad as my kid. Mom, can I have this? No. Can I have it now? No. Can I have it again? I answered you.
How about if this happens? Can I have it?
No.
I think it's time to move on to our hot pockets. What do you think, Kelly?
Oh wait,
absolutely.
Now we got to get on to one last thing here.
Rodgers. As long as you're fine,
that's
it. Fine.
In an interview and request, which I thought was interesting, the fans refrain from doing the wave while on offense and also encourage them to stand up. Now, this is a direct address to what's been some very common fan complaints over the past couple of years of the down-in-front crowd, of the people who go to the game, sit and tell people who are standing in front of them to sit down or be quiet and literally call stadium security. Kelly, you're a regular at the
I'm going to the game with my 77-year-old dad. It drives my dad just batty when somebody stands in front of him. To his credit, he's 77. He's got a batty. Everyone can stand except in front of my dad, okay? Because I don't want to have to get into it. He's my dad. Just ignore him. But as
so
far
you're
as
saying
the,
it's an age issue.
Well, it's my dad issue. He's just
putting your dad aside. I mean, you know, it's okay to say it. I mean, is this these the predominance of older fans of Packers games that are doing this? Would that be fair to say?
I would say yeah, because I don't care if someone stands in front of me. I stand up too, you know. Or if I don't want to stand up, I kind of peek around them. But yeah, if you look at it, part of this is and maybe this is the product of the gazillionaire wait list that Packer tickets stay with families for generations. So you right. do see people my dad's age and even older going to games. And that, there's nothing wrong with it, but I think you have to realize that I go to Packer games, I go to Badger games, and the energy, maybe it's just college ball, but the energy at college games, everyone stands for the entire time. And I saw
you're going to have a much younger crowd. Right. You're obviously going to have a much younger crowd at the college game. So you'd expect
that. But I think the enthusiasm has to be organic. You know, the flashing lights, you know, dimming and flashing the overhead lights that last preseason game was just super lame. You know, the foghorn was stupid as well. So is the wave. I can't stand the wave. Stevie knows the wave goes around. I don't do it. And for the love of God, don't do it on offense because it is distracting. So from Aaron's lets you God's ears, please don't do the wave during the offense.
Okay.
Al, what do you think?
I think everything Kelly just said. And good.
Right.
And I'm very happy that Rodgers came out and talked about it. And, you know, maybe people will listen if it's coming from him.
I don't
but
think
yeah, I want people on their feet.
People quiet, but I think it's going to give a little boost to the people that want to stand and want to cheer. You know, that it's a little validation for them. I think the down in front crowd's still going to sit and complain, but I think you're going to have less people who are going to be like,
turn around and say, our quarterback. You can turn around and say, our quarterback wants us to stand and cheer. You don't want to listen.
That works.
Fine. Yeah.
However, well, I'm in the second row from the top, and the old guy saying, sit down, give him a break because he's my dad. And it's not my idea. He just
you can just ignore people who are saying sit down.
Exactly. He's credit. He's got a bum knee. So I totally get it.
Well, if someone tells me to sit down, I'm calling stadium security, and I'm having them removed.
There you go. Not following quarterback's orders.
Exactly.
That has to be. That's got to be an offense. That's got to be a Lambeau Field offense, right?
Yellow flag. Tweet.
It's got to be cause for ejection or a fine or jail time, even. I think maybe.
In Green Bay, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, it might be time for.
Come on. Oh, yeah. It is time for our Hot Pockets. It's our last little thought where we get a little soliloquy about everything going on with the Packers. Kelly, you are starting us out.
All right. Well, will you look at that? The Packers have a defense. Raise your hand if you missed Mike Daniels last Thursday. Wait, I can't hear you over the crickets chirping. Or how about Clay Matthews or Nick Perry? Interesting stat this week. Z Smith accomplished as much in one game that it took nearly four games for Perry to do. And right now, he's only a half sack off of Perry Pace for a mind-numbing 1.5 sacks all year. So, yeah, the defense is here to play. I think we've got a new, improved version of it. Now it's time for the very rusty first-team offense to rise to the occasion so they don't look like a bunch of JV players when paired against our really stout defense. Usually it's the other way around, so it's kind of weird this year. But it looks like this defense will win games for the Pack. Just like they say, defense wins championships. Here's to hoping the offense figures it out. And that is my
Hot Pocket.
Okay, plenty of things drove me crazy about the Packers the last 2 years, but none perhaps more than their propensity to waste timeouts. For the most part, this is related to Rodgers running the clock down to 0.0009 seconds before he calls for the ball to be snapped. While there's truth to the argument that he's gathering pre-snap intel on the defense, the same could be done without letting the defense know the ball is going to be snapped right now. But the worst part is the timeouts that are wasted that would be important to have late in a close game. Rodgers keeps saying he's going to be better with this, but we're still waiting, and that is my
Hot Pocket.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want me to slow down the JK Fat bandwagon? I'll think about it. You know, Brian Gutekunst got a rational shade from Packer Nation for taking a punter in the sixth round. Because as you know, we're getting nothing but solid starters in the sixth round. The amount of fan criticism that got directed at Scott himself last year, as he struggled in the second half of the season as a rookie, was at times rather sadistic. It was meant really just to be criticizing the GM about the draft pick. Don't take a punter in the draft. But you almost felt like they were hoping Scott would struggle to prove their point. Now, no one ever said the Packer fans were rational or fought in the best interest of the teams when their emotions are involved, but Scott was a great pick then. He's a great pick now, and he's matured into the position. In a game that was only 10-3, you better bet that having a reliable punter made field position a major factor in that game, allowing the defense plenty of room to work. Okay, fine. I will slow down. You can get on the bandwagon. But that is my
Hot Pocket.
Cheesehead Radio. Packers game predictions.
It's week two. The Packers have their home opener against their Cross River rivals, the Minnesota Vikings, who had their own impressive win last week as well. How are you calling the game this week, Jersey Al Bracco?
Well, before the season started, I was actually more worried about the Vikings than the Bears. I had visions of Kirk Cousins with no pressure, slicing up the Packers' defense, as happened once or twice before. But now that we've seen the Smith Brothers act, not to mention the secondary that actually plays like an NFL secondary, I'm feeling a little better. I still think the Vikings are a better overall team than the Bears, but the friendly confines of Lambeau Field will help the Packers eke out a win. Packers 23, Vikings 20.
All right. I want this to be a Packers win. And with my heart, I'm going to predict a Packers win. I'm going to predict they win 28-17. But my head is telling me that the LaFleur era is going to have to go through some growing pains. And I don't think anything could be more painful than losing to the Vikings at home. I'm hoping for a win, but I got a feeling it's not going to happen.
Okay. Full disclosure, I live within spitting distance of Minnesota. I really want the Packers to win so that long drive home Sunday night is worth it. I mean, I really hate the Vikings. I live really close to Viking territory. In fact, there's a lot of purple-blooded Wisconsinites where I live that are Vikings fans, and they are all obnoxious, even my good friends who like the Vikings. I don't want to deal with them if they lose. Ragnar is a weenie, that dude from Canada that always shows up on TV dressed like a Viking with the purple face and the Heidi braids and the chainmail. Did you know, I saw this at the game, watching the game, he's got a tattoo of Steve the Owner Tate with big circle of the line through it on his bicep. Come on, really? I hate that thinking horn. So my predictions are 100% heart. I really want to win, and I think the Packers will pull it off. Packers 21, Vikings 20. It's going to be a close one.
Unanimous.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio in our 10th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review if you can. You can also listen to us by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcatching app, and search for Packers Talk. Finally, please be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap. Go Pack, go.
Want to know? 15 to go. We'll see y'all next week. Go Pack, go.
All right.
Cheesehead Radio.